Hi, do you have a heart to minister to the brokenhearted? Well, listen in because we want to help.
Hi, I'm Matt, the Development Coordinator for the Truth and Hope Foundation in Sofia, Bulgaria.
And I'm Cherie Frizonki, the author of the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum.
This episode of Go in Peace is brought to you by listeners, supporters, and friends of our ministry.
If you want to follow along in the discussion, purchase the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum from the links provided. It's going to make what we talk about a bit more understandable. But if you don't have it, no worries, you're still benefit by listening.
Episode 1.1. Today in our podcast, we are discussing Session 1, Page 1, Heading, Invitation to the Brokenhearted.
Hopefully you have the curriculum, Go in Peace, Biblical Discipleship Curriculum, and you've already read this section. If not, no worries, enjoy the discussion. In this portion of the curriculum, we talk about a woman I heard about one evening on the news. She was so overwhelmed by the guilt of her sin that she committed suicide. I then asked the following questions in the curriculum. Have you ever been in such a deep pit of despair? Did it seem as if nothing or no one could possibly take the pain away? You see, most of us, we've been wounded or hurt at some point in life's journey. Now, these hurts may be the result of our own sins, such as bad decisions or wrong choices, or they might be the result of another sin against us, as in the case of rejection, abuse, or rape. In either case, what we do with these hurts is what greatly affects us. And what we do with these hurts are what can actually cause the depression, the anxiety, the rage, the bulimia, the alcoholism, any of these different issues that people struggle with today. It's usually as a result of what's taking place in the depths of their heart because they haven't learned how to give it to God in the manner He intended.
One thing I liked about what you first started in this book here is the very first verse I see at the top of page one is Psalm 34:18. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And I think that's probably one of the best verses that could have been up there because I have a feeling that anybody that's really struggling with something, you know, has kind of shoved it into the deepest part of their heart. They might not even really be addressing it like on their own. You know, that's just something that they've kind of shoved into their past. And sometimes they find themselves in that dark part of their mind. You know, maybe they're super lonely. Maybe they're super anxious. And they're really feeling alone in those parts of their mind. And I think that it's really good to know that we can lean on God's promises and understand that, you know, seeing that firsthand, that verse really should and hopefully would comfort somebody going through this to understand that, you know what, I'm not alone in this. It's a lie that I'm believing to believe that I'm alone in all of this, because when we're alone in something, it's really hard to reach up a hand for help. But seeing in God's word that He's right there with us, it's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, and a lot of times we take the silence of God in thinking that He's not around, but that's not true. Just like His word says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He preserved His word for us. You know, the New Testament alone is over 2,000 years old, and He saved that for us to talk to us today. And then the Old Testament, like this verse in Psalms, goes back even further. And so just when we grasp a hold of that concept, the love that is there, that He preserved it perfectly for us. And so He is close to us, even though we might not feel that He's close to us. And so one of the things that this curriculum does is it explains why we feel that sometimes. Why do we feel as if we're distant from God? Or that God isn't worried about us or concerned about us. But through the curriculum, we're going to start seeing why we feel that way, why we feel distant from the Lord. But more importantly, we're going to get to the root of what's going on. According to His word, we're going to be taught how to apply His word to our life. And then we're going to see how God really does save those who are crushed in spirit. But it's through His word. We need to be willing to come to Him.
And I have three small children, and so I wanted to just kind of express some questions that they have for me, sometimes they're always like, what do you mean God talks to you? What do you mean God whispers to you? You know, these things that we need to be listening for. I've never really heard his voice. And so when you're trying to explain this to a small child, you're letting them know, okay, like, you might not hear an audible voice, but there are things that God puts on your heart, and that is, you know, sometimes how he speaks to us, just by putting things on our heart. And sometimes we know that they're from God because they're not really things that our flesh really wants to deal with. And so that's why I like also in this first chapter here, it says, if you are brave enough to apply what you learn. I like that because sometimes our flesh does not like doing things that make us feel slightly uncomfortable.
Right.
But sometimes God wants to bring us through that so that way we could be healed through it. We think that, you know, by just never addressing it, shoving it deep down, that we took care of it, you know, and God wants us to be brave and to actually bring that to him. And so I always try and tell my boys that, you know, when there's that something that God's trying to, like, show you, it might not be what you want, you know, and I'm speaking to small children, so I'm like, you know, maybe it's to share your toys.
Yeah.
Maybe it's to forgive your brother for, you know, breaking your Lego set or something like that. Your flesh doesn't want to do it, but there's something that's kind of pushing you towards doing that. And those are those little whispers that God puts in our heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, telling us that we need to be doing something.
Right.
And it just... you know, requires bravery. You know, it's kind of weird to say it like that because we're not, you know, doing something in the physical realm,
right?
But spiritually, we need to be brave as well.
Right. That's a good analogy because, you know, even as a little child, we do need to teach our children how to forgive, because if we don't teach them how to forgive when they're little, how do we expect to teach them when they're adults? Yet that's what you and I are working with a lot of times, are the adults who have never been taught this concept and they're fighting it because, you know, our anger can feel really good sometimes, you know, and that person deserves for us to be angry at them. And so a lot of times we don't even realize it as Christians. We're making decisions based on our emotions and our feelings, you know, and, you know, he did this really wrong and he deserves my anger. Yet we don't realize that that anger, you know, when hurt is not handled in the manner God intended, it turns to anger. Anger turns into bitterness. Bitterness turns into this bitter poison that affects our whole life. And that bitter poison is the unforgiveness in our life. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's a good analogy, you know.
Well, which rolls right into, like, your section that speaks of, like, losing your happiness, you know.
Yeah.
It was, in here it says, can someone really forget the happiness that was once in their lives?
Yeah.
And I liked kind of hearing that because I feel like there are people that are out there that don't realize that what they're holding on to is robbing themselves of the joy that God intended for us to be,
yeah,
you know, having in our life. But because we're believing the lie that by us holding on to it, we, you know, somehow are in control, or like you just said, someone doesn't deserve it, you know, and so we're not going to let this thing go. But from God's perspective, we're really just kind of, you know, robbing ourselves of the fruit and the joy that he wants to give us.
It's true. And it was amazing. I remember that day today. And although the curriculum says over 20 years ago, it was actually for me now over 30 years ago that I discovered what I'm teaching in this curriculum. And I'll never forget that day when all of a sudden this happiness was just filling my soul. And I'm like, I haven't felt this since I was a little child, like maybe 5. Mm. And like you're saying, without even realizing it, by holding on to the hurts and pains of a little child's life that I held on to, it was robbing me of that life abundantly that God wants us to have with joy and peace and happiness. And yeah, there's difficult times in life. Yes, we're not going to be happy all the time. But when that joy is robbed, you don't even realize it's gone. Like, I didn't realize it at all those years until I got it back. Mm. It was so powerful to, oh my goodness. And it was after I learned these concepts I'm teaching in the book. Once I learned that, once God showed that to me, I was so set free. Mm. And it was just so powerful, that moment of that joy coming back and just being, oh my goodness, I missed out all these years. I mean, I would have said I was a happy kid. I had fun. You know, I had a good life, but there was something missing I didn't even realize because of the yuck I was holding on to. Mm. Yeah.
Well, and I want to ask this because you've taken people through this for many years. And so I want to know, you know, if we're, you know, having this discussion for people to listen that are going to be taking other people through this, when can we expect someone who's going through this curriculum to kind of have that revival of happiness in their heart? You know, is it something that happens kind of that you noticed immediately at the end of the curriculum, or is it something that kind of hits them 3 months later? What do you see?
I usually see that if the person is really taking what you're teaching them and applying it to their life, because you have one of two types of people. You have somebody who will be like the sinful woman. You're going to learn about that soon. Someone who's like the sinful woman who's willing to apply what God's teaching them to their life, or you have somebody who's fighting it, okay? If they're really taking what you're teaching them and applying it to their life, you see it by session 4 or 5. By the end of session 4 or 5, you are going to see, especially by the end of 5, you are going to see this transformation in their life. And so I always say that although this is a discipleship curriculum and it's based 100% on the Word of God, so basically it's biblical counseling, I say the first 5 sessions of the curriculum are the biblical counseling. From there, session 6 on is discipleship and just teaching the person how now to walk in that new freedom. And but you're definitely see it by 4 or 5. They're just going to be transforming before your eyes. So if you're doing this curriculum as a weekend workshop, you see that happening mid-Saturday. You know, if you started Friday, did all day Saturday, all day Sunday. If you're doing it weekly and you're doing one session a week, you're going to see it by around the 5th week.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's amazing.
This has been a Go in Peace Leaders discussion topic with Sri Verzonki and myself, Matt Laster, based on the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum. If you would like to join a group of Go in Peace leaders for encouragement, support, and prayer from like-minded disciplers, click on the Facebook group link provided. May God richly bless you as you serve Him.